Well, let me begin by saying Happy Mother's Day. Let's just give our moms a hand of appreciation this morning, shall we? And all the chocolates that moms don't want, I get them. We want to wish our mothers a happy Mother's Day. We appreciate our mothers a great deal. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for giving us our mothers who nurtured and cared and have loved us. Lord, I think of my own childhood, how I know I didn't make it easy. But Lord, thank you that she always cared, always loved, was always there, always supported. Lord, I think this morning of those of us here today who are missing their moms. I pray that you would comfort them with a special grace of healing, consolation, Lord, of your peace that surpasses all human comprehension, that it would be increasingly theirs as they turn their eyes to you, the Prince of Peace. Lord, help us today, I pray, to celebrate our mothers and to give honor to you. Thank you for the gift of our mothers. Now, Lord, we pray, may this time be a gift to them and a gift to you, Lord, of our adoration and our appreciation for our mothers and your provision. We pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. We're going to dismiss our kids for Kids Quest this time, so kids, you're welcome to go. One of these days, it's going to be spring. My wife told me yesterday that it's supposed to snow today, I think. Something like that. Is that what I heard? And tomorrow, too. That's right. So, well, I want to begin this morning with a question. How many of you have mothers? Okay. Now, that means this applies to all of us here this morning. We're thankful for our 85.4 million mothers across America and some 2 billion around the world. We're thankful for our moms. You know why? Because moms give. It's in their nature to give, isn't it? Moms by nature give to us, and so we love to give back to them. And today's a great day to do that. Say we love our moms and appreciate them so much. I read about a mother this last week who, as she was serving her 8-year-old little boy, Bradley, breakfast, when he left the table, she found a bill next to his plate. And the bill read as follows: Mother owes Bradley for running errands 25 cents. For being good, 10 cents. For taking music lessons, 15 cents. For extras, 5 cents. Total, 55 cents. Little Bradley's mother smiled, didn't say a word. Later that day, when she served lunch, as Bradley sat down to the table, there was his bill with 55 cents neatly stacked next to it. And next to that was another note in which he unfolded. And it read, Bradley owes mother for nursing him through scarlet fever, nothing. For being good to him, nothing. For clothes, for shoes, for playthings, nothing. For his playroom, nothing. For his meals, nothing. Total, nothing. Moms are naturally givers, aren't they? In fact, as we look through scriptures, we see that there are moms that are quiet, faithful givers that have changed the world. Many of those names we're familiar with, such as Hannah or Ruth or Elizabeth or Mary. They were women of faith and they were moms, an unbeatable combination that can change the world. But this morning I want to look at two women in particular, a mother and a grandmother that you may not be familiar with. In fact, their names are only mentioned once in the entirety of all of Scripture. Even when I mention their names, you'll probably say, I didn't know their names were in Scripture. Those are actually biblical names. But their names are Lois and Eunice. Lois was a grandmother. Eunice was the mother. We know very little about them, but what we do know about them, we know from the fruit of their parenting and grandparenting in young Timothy's life. This morning I want us to look at a passage of Scripture that as I read through this, I began to see that Timothy's life was impacted through his grandmother and mother in more ways than we at first see as we look at Scripture. If you have your Bibles, open to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy, as you may be familiar, is a book that was written by the elderly apostle Paul. It's his final letter that he ever wrote. In this letter, he is reflecting on his life, the fond memories that he has. But in front of him, he knows is an imminent and violent death. You see, he's sitting in a Roman prison, and he knows he is about to die for his faith and his obedience in Jesus. And while he's sitting in this Roman prison, alone, waiting with his memories, I find a man that is not bitter. He's not angry. He's not ranting in bitterness. He's not filled with regret. What I find is a man who is thankful, reflecting back on how God has blessed him in his life. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, he says, I thank God whom I serve, as my fathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Like the words of an aging father reflecting on his own life to his son, he speaks to his son in the faith, Timothy, and he shares with him his final words that he wants him to know and be aware of. And his thoughts are marked predominantly by thankfulness. He knew where he was going. Even though he knew death was soon, not too far from this passage, he would say he had fought the good fight. He had finished the course. He had kept the faith. He knew where he was going. If you know where you're going, no matter what difficulty or hardship you face in life, you can be thankful. And Paul was thankful. He said, as for me, my life is already being poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. A little later, he said, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. You see, friend, if you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you can say those same words with confidence that the Apostle Paul has said. You don't know the day or the hour, but one day God will call you home. We sang that way, didn't we? And God says, let me assure you, when that time comes, I want you to know where you're going. You're going to God's heavenly kingdom. While Paul was thinking about Timothy, he recalls Timothy's childhood. And he notes in here, Lois and Eunice, the only time that these names are ever mentioned. And I want us to reflect just for a few minutes today on 1 Timothy chapter 1, really starting in verse 3 through verse 7. I read this passage for you. Paul says, I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I'm mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I am sure that it is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and a sound mind. We normally read this passage by itself. God has not given me a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and sound mind. But when you read this passage in the context, you begin to realize this has a powerful application to young Timothy's life and our lives as well, and to motherhood. Paul says, the same faith that dwelt in Lois and Eunice, he was confident now dwells in Timothy as well. And that faith is the evidence of God, of power, of love, and self-discipline. This morning, I want to look at four life-changing gifts of a faithful mom that I see in this passage. The first gift that I see is a gift of sincere faith. Paul says in verse 5, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. What a powerful gift a mom can give to her child is that of a sincere faith. And that's what Lois and Eunice gave to young Timothy. The word sincere there means to be genuine inside and out, through and through. From an early age, Timothy saw in his mother and his grandmother a sincere faith, a sincere love and trust and relationship with Jesus Christ. And that sincerity deeply impacted young Timothy. Paul says, from childhood, you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads you to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You see, what Lois and Eunice would do with young Timothy while he was being raised was they would share the scriptures with him. And they would see, and he would see the faith through the scriptures that they had. And Paul says, I think about you, young Timothy, I'm impressed of the genuineness of your faith. When I see you, I see a genuine believer through and through. And I'm thankful for your mother and your grandmother because I saw that same sincere, genuine faith in them as well. And I recognize that faith you have, you first saw it in them. The gift of a sincere faith. You see, I'm convinced that real Christianity is taught in the home more than anywhere else. Church is a great place. It's needed. Sunday school, Awana youth group, Bible studies, life groups, they're all helpful and they're all good. They're all needed. But there is nowhere and there is no teacher like the home. A child's faith becomes real when they begin to see it in mom and dad. And is very, very powerful in a parent's life and a child's response. I read about four Bible scholars once who were talking about Bible translations, and one of them spoke up and he said, you know, I really prefer the King James translation because of its beautiful and eloquent old English. Another said he preferred the American Standard because of its literalism, the way it moves the reader from passage to passage with confident feelings of accuracy from the original text. A third man said, you know, I really prefer the Charles Moffat translation because of its quaint, penetrating use of words, the turn of a phrase that captures the reader's attention. After giving the issue some thought, the fourth scholar spoke up and he said, you know, he says, I personally preferred my mother's translation. The other scholars chuckled. He said, no, he says, yes, she translated it. She translated each page of the Bible into life. It is the most convincing translation I ever saw. There is nothing like the home and nothing like a mom in which the message, the sincerity of Jesus Christ is communicated. Susan Wesley, who's a well-known mother who had some 17 to 19 children, I've read both. She raised her children in poverty, hardship, and difficulty. Yet she was a woman of incredible faith. Two of her sons became world-renowned names, John Wesley and Charles Wesley. John Wesley would go on to preach some 40,000 messages around Great Britain and America, bringing countless thousands to a faith in Christ. Charles Wesley would go on to write some 6,500 hymns plus. Many of those are still sung today. Many of those are well known. Susan Wesley, each week, would sit down with her family, her children, and would counsel them through the scriptures of the importance of knowing and walking with Jesus Christ. Her influence stuck and changed the world because of that. Moms, you have no idea of the impact of the sincerity of your faith in your children's lives. You may not see it now. You may not understand it now, but it is there. Never give up. Never give up. I read this past week of the former chancellor of Dallas Theological Seminary, who came up in chapel one time, and he was talking about a family and a father who had prayed for his child for 60 years. At the end of those 60 years, that child finally came to faith. Some of you as moms long to see your children come to know Christ. And you wonder, will they ever? Has my life made a difference? Has my faith made a difference in their life? Let me assure you, it is making a difference. Keep praying and keep making that difference. Famed preacher Dr. G. Campbell Morgan from the 19th century had four sons, and all four sons became pastors. They were at a family reunion once, and a friend asked one of the sons, "So which Morgan is the greatest preacher?" To which the son looked over at his father, then he looked at his mom, and he said, "Mother is. Mother is." Moms, you preach powerful messages. Messages of faith. Keep preaching that message, living it out. A second gift that faithful mothers give is the gift of spiritual confidence. Verse 7 says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and love and sound mind." I want to focus on these three attributes of the evidence of God in our lives, the gift of power. It refers to a spiritual confidence. This is a confidence that is stalwart, a confidence that has an inward strength, that maintains a rock-solid kind of faith despite life's hardships or obstacles. This was not, in the words of one commentator, a bare, fleeting, momentary feeling, but an abiding, indwelling principle. This was a faith that was real, a faith that was strong, a faith that was evident in the good times as well as in the hard times. The idea of power here actually comes from the word dunamos. We get the word dynamite, but that's really not the idea behind this word. This word has the idea of an indwelling strength, abiding, anchoring strength that never goes away. God has given us that spirit. That's the evidence of our faith in Him. Many of us are familiar with Heinz 57 varieties. There are all kinds of products, actually more than that. But when the will of Henry J. Heinz was read, there was found in it to contain a certain confession. It said this: "Looking forward to the time when my earthly career will end, I desire to set forth at the very beginning of this will as the most important item in it, a confession of my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I also desire to bear witness to the fact that throughout my life, in which there have been unusual joys and sorrows, I've been wonderfully sustained by my faith in God through Jesus Christ. This legacy has left me by my consecrated mother, a woman of strong faith, and to it I attribute any success I have attained." You see, moms, you communicate a God reliance that has a profound impact on your children's lives. The gift of spiritual confidence. Let me give you a third gift that I see here, and that is the gift of unselfish love. "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love." There was a math teacher once asked his student, if he had 8 people in the family and they were to cut up a pie, how much would each person get? The boy answered, 1/7. The teacher said, "Well, I'm afraid you don't know your fractions. Remember, there are 8 of you," he said. "Yes, but you don't know my mother," said the boy. My mom would refuse her share of the pie so everyone would have just a little bit more. The gift of unselfish love. This is the third gift that Timothy received from his mother and his grandmother. Paul knew Timothy's grandmother and mother personally. He had met them on his first missionary journey, going through Lystra, which is modern-day Turkey. And it was there that they'd heard the gospel. It was then that they trusted Christ. And it was then that Paul met Timothy for the very first time, a young boy of an unusual faith and character. It was on Paul's second missionary journey that he invited young Timothy to go with him as he planted churches. He proclaimed the gospel. But one thing about Timothy that you find is Paul never hid the persecutions or the struggles that he went through as a believer. Now, I want you to put yourself for a moment, if you will, into Lois and Eunice's sandals. I want you to think about your son and sending him off with the jailbird. Sending him off with a man who is persecuted for his faith, who is beaten, who is stoned, and knowing into perilous danger. How's that? There we go. Now we won't come in and out. But just imagine if you're the parent who is knowingly putting your son into the hands of the Apostle Paul, who already says, you know, if you live a godly life, you will be persecuted. And Paul never hid the stories about his persecutions, the hardships he went through. Now, what does this have to do with unselfish love? I think one is it points to unselfish love that Lois and Eunice had for the Lord. They recognized that God had a plan for Timothy's life. And they loved the Lord enough to trust God with Timothy. But there's another way this unselfish love was at work, I think, in their lives. Let me ask you as a parent, when you know your child is away from home, what is one of the natural things you find yourself doing for that child? When you lay down to go to bed at night, you find yourself praying for your children. When you get up in the morning, you find yourself praying for your children. As you go throughout the day, you find yourself praying for your children. You see, I think the gift that Lois and Eunice gave to young Timothy was the gift of prayer. Through their unselfish love, I think they prayed for him night and day, knowing that he was going into danger. The Bible speaks of at least five different churches that Timothy worked with Paul, hand in hand in helping plant and pastor. Tradition says that Timothy himself was some 80 years of age. He was a bishop in Ephesus. And there was a procession going down the road of worshiping a goddess. And Timothy stepped out and confronted them of their ridiculous idolatry. And tradition says that this mob killed Timothy. But what I find is interesting, whether that's true or not, is that Timothy was a man of resolute faith who stayed strong with the Lord all his life. And I believe that we can read between the lines and safely say that every day of their waking life, Lois and Eunice were praying for young Timothy. Moms, don't stop praying for your children. Keep praying for them. Pray that they would come to know Christ. For years, we prayed for our girls that they would know the right spouse and protect them from the wrong one. That they would have a hatred for sin. They'd have a love for God that is sold out. I find myself echoing those same words again and again and again, praying for our daughters. Moms, don't quit praying for your children. Continue to pray for them. I think one of the greatest gifts of unselfish love you can do is say, Lord, here is your child. You gave them to me as a gift. Now I give them back to you. Will you guard? Will you guide my child? the gift of unselfish love. The fourth gift I see here is the gift of self-control. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of self-discipline. Just think about the task that mothers have. I know a little bit of what that's like, being a pastor. But they have to teach their children to manage their feelings, their words, their thoughts. That's no small task. Self-discipline speaks of consistency that is both balancing tenderness and toughness in a child's life. That's no easy task to do for anybody, but especially for a mom. There was a study done a number of years ago of some 1,738 middle-class boys and their families, beginning with pre-adolescent all the way up to young manhood. After identifying the boys who had a sense of strong self-esteem and those who didn't, and their homes, the influences were compared between these two boys. Some very important characteristics stood out that distinguished them. There were three, in fact. One was the families of the boys that had self-esteem, strong self-esteem, was a family of genuine love. The high self-esteem children were clearly more loved and appreciated at home than were low self-esteem boys. The parental love was deep and genuine, not just an empty display of words. The boys knew they were the object and pride of pride and interest of their parents, increasing their own sense of self-worth. There was genuine love. Second, there were healthy boundaries. The high self-esteem parents were significantly stricter in their approach to discipline. By contrast, the parents of low self-esteem group created insecurity and dependence from their permissiveness. The children were more likely to feel that the rules were not enforced because their parents didn't care enough to get involved. Strict accountability, responsibility were found in the homes of high self-esteem. Family ties were the strongest. And the third was the freedom of personality. Homes of high self-esteem boys were characterized by a democracy of fairness and openness. Once the boundaries of behavior were clearly established, there was a freedom of individual personalities to grow and develop. The boys could express themselves without fear of ridicule, and the overall atmosphere was marked by acceptance and emotional safety. Wow. Not everyone had the privilege to grow up in a home like that, did we? And yet God says, when you become my child, all three of those attributes become realities in your life through God. The genuine love, the healthy boundaries, the freedom of personality become a reality in our relationship with God. And that comes from self-discipline that pays a lifetime of dividends. Moms, you have no idea how important your influence in your children's life. You know what I discovered too as a parent? Now, don't laugh when you hear this, but you never stop being a parent, do you? I kind of had this idea when our girls were raised and they left the home, it was like, but you never stop being a parent. And nor do you want to stop being a parent. You just have to learn to parent in a different way. As my wife and I pray together, one of the things I've heard myself just sharing my heart more than once is, Lord, help us to parent in a way that truly honors you. Help us to parent in a way that truly honors you. Because our children need different kinds of parenting as they get older. You can't parent them the same way at 2 as you can at 22. Lord, help us to know how to honor you in how we parent our children. You never stop being a parent, and I'm glad you don't. While my daughters were growing up, at one time or another, they had a sign that hung in their room. It was entitled, Children Learn by What They Live, by Dorothy Lou Nolte. It's a profound observation of parenting. If a child lives with criticism, she wrote, he learns to condemn. If a child lives with hostility, he learns to fight. If a child lives with ridicule, he learns to be shy. If a child lives with shame, he learns to feel guilty. If a child lives with tolerance, he learns to be patient. If a child lives with encouragement, he learns confidence. If a child lives with praise, he learns to appreciate. If a child lives with fairness, he learns justice. If a child lives with security, he learns to have faith. If a child lives with approval, he learns to like himself. If a child lives with acceptance and friendship, he learns to find love in the world. What a profound statement about parenting. Children learn what they live. Moms, I pray that you're encouraged today. I pray that the gifts that you have to offer that maybe you don't think are that significant or that impactful, that you'd be reminded today that the gift of sincere faith, a spiritual confidence, and selfish love that is marked by many ways, one of which you're praying for your children, and the gift of self-control, discipline. Those gifts are far more impacting than you're aware. And you continue to give those gifts today, but in a different way. Maybe your children are raised and have left the home. They've established their own lives. Things haven't always gone well. They haven't always done the things you want them to do. But they know when they look back and they look at mom, they know they're loved. They know they're prayed for. They know they're believed in. They know they have a mom. And you're a gift to your children that God has given. Thank you for being that mom. Mom, thank you for being mom. Will you pray with me? Lord, we're thankful for our mothers. I'm not just thankful for my mother, but I'm thankful for my mother-in-law, both of which have been a mother in my life in ways that have deeply impacted me. Lord, thank you for them. Thank you for the mothers that are here. And I know, Lord, that none of us have been perfect parents. And there may be moms here today that feel the sting of regret. Lord, I pray that you would, by your grace, bring healing to that regret. That you would give them a joy and a renewed sense of calling. That they're still a mother. They still have impact. Lord, I pray, turn the eyes of their faith upon you and help them to walk strong and to be renewed in you. Thank you for our moms. Lord, may we be a blessing to them. Father, as moms enjoy this day, I pray that they would truly know that they are appreciated and loved. May your name be honored, Lord. As we love our parents and serve you, I pray, Father, for the children that come to mind and are deep in the hearts of moms here that don't know you, that those children would indeed come to know you. Soften their hearts. Awaken a faith, a desire to know you, Lord. They would recognize their need for you. That you'd give perseverance to the moms that are praying for their children. Wisdom, Lord, for those children that maybe are not going the direction they should be going, and the ability to speak into their lives, their children's lives, that they would listen. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness that is so manifest in a great way through our mothers. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'd like to stand. Our last song is In the Secret, and it's an amazing prayer song. In the secret, we wait for him. Mothers need to take that time.